Okay, so I might move to paramedicals now.
Okay.
So let's start again with what inspired you to create this fantastic work.
I saw a piece on Stateline, and it was about the Parramatta Girls' Home. It was about three Indigenous women going back to the Parramatta Girls' Home. One of them was Coral Pombo, one of them was Marlene Riley Green, and someone who I didn't end up interviewing. And I thought, this is the most fantastic story. I've got to find out more about it. So I rang the journalist, whose name was Sharon O'Neill, and I didn't hear from her, but I found somehow else Coral Pombo, who was one of the women, and I rang her. I just rang her and I said, Coral, can I come and speak to you? And she lived down in Wollongong, and I got the train down and I spoke to her, and I just thought, this is the most extraordinary story and it's never been told. And I just went from there. Once I had the kind of imprimatur of the Indigenous elders, they had a Parramatta Girls reunion down at, they were having a Christmas party or something down in the rocks, and I went to that. I just talked to them all, and Marlene said to me, yeah, Alana, I'll tell you my story, but only if you don't cut out all the tough bits. I said, believe me, Marlene, I'm not going to cut out the tough bits. I'm going to want to put in every single tough bit. And sort of got their confidence, and they'd had the experience in the play where they'd refused to go on the Captain Cook cruise, and so they'd been given extra tickets. So I went with a couple of the women and their grandchildren on the cruise. I just started going to a lot of the Parramatta Girls events. Then there was a reunion actually out at the home in November, which I went to, talked to a whole lot of women there, gave out flyers about the project, and just started getting to know them. Just, there were two things. The first was, I couldn't believe this had happened, that this excruciating treatment of children in Australia, which has had a long history in Australia, you know, had been happening as recently as 1974. I just thought that it was unconscionable. And so I wanted to tell their story, but I also just thought it was this amazing camaraderie between the Indigenous and non-Indigenous women. It was almost as if, because they'd both been treated with such contempt and malice, that there was, you know, people often talk about there being no colour difference, but there sort of was there. And I later found that there still was that in some of the relationships, and that there was certainly racism there too. But that there were genuine friendships between Indigenous and non-Indigenous women that were about them being Parramatta girls, that was a really unifying thing, even above and beyond their race. And I thought that was really interesting. Mm. And unique a bit in Australian, my experience. I hadn't ever seen that so marked. So I wanted to sniff a bit more for that. There was lots of unspoken things that you often see in a culture or a community, you know, and our job is to try and articulate what that unspoken thing is. But I could see that going on between them as Parramatta girls. And I thought, ah, that's really amazing that this shared horror that they were just learning to find a way to speak about was between them as an unsaid family link. Look, it's a much longer question, because I've had some talks recently about, you know, people think that there's a voyeurism as well to talking about communities that do have horror as a part of it. And I would defer to that thing you were saying before about, you know, I let them tell their story. You know, I let them talk about the horror. They want to go there. It's not just us voyeuristically going, oh, there, but for the grace of God, go I. But that's an inherent part of theatre. We want to be able to empathise, but I'm hoping that by doing it with the voice of the community in there, that it goes beyond that simple, oh, aren't I lucky not to be that? That it's actually a deeper empathy, that the empathy becomes about not just what's different about them, but what's the same, that we all have horrors and challenges in our life. The thing that struck me about these women was not the actual individual act of horror. Some of them had been sexually abused and had found a way to deal with it. I'm not saying that anybody ever gets over that, but that different personality types and different girls cope with things in different ways. And that a girl who had been, you know, brutalized by her fellow inmates once could carry that for the rest of her life. Whereas someone who had been repeatedly brutalised. The point I'm trying to make is that there is a variation in the kind of person and how you deal with it. And I suppose I think that's something for all of us, because we've all had tough times and difficult times in our life. And some people get really upset and devastated by something which someone else moves on from fairly quickly. So that's what interested me as well about these girls, the variations in legacy, because for me that then says that the legacy doesn't have to be about the horror of the experience in its particularity. It's about the horror of the treatment of those wards of the state, basically. Mm.